Welcome to the Northern Sports Report Podcast, brought to you by Wapiti River Outdoors. You can follow us on Twitter at NSR Podcast. You can listen to us at any time on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Google Northern Sports Report Podcast. Thank you.
There's any other way to start, man? Started off the glorious song there, so might as well take her right into the parade talk there yesterday, St. Louis Blues parade.
Yeah, they definitely deserved whatever they were doing yesterday. I don't know what really to call it.
Yeah, well, first time in 50 years or whatever it was been. I don't know, long time.
Yeah. Long time coming.
A couple wild matches on that team, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You see that video of Perron?
Oh, Perron. Perron is just unreal. I don't even know what he's doing up there. He's just an animal.
Just an animal, shirtless, crushing beers. Night two, just full bore, shirtless, crushing beers. Modern day Stone Cold Steve Austin there, throwing them over each shoulder. Absolute animal.
Just I don't even know what else to call it either. Like, that's some sort of dad bod he's got going on. I don't know, really. Take some lessons, yeah, on that or something.
Yeah, take some lessons. He wasn't the only one on that team with the dad bod.
No, definitely not.
There.
Oh, Patty Maroon. His celebration was out of control too.
What I thought was the best about Patty Maroon was there in round, I don't know what round it was, one or two there. He gave everyone just the big bro hug, shaking hands during the when they won that one series. Did you see that?
I did. He's a good teammate. There's no doubt about that. That's for sure. May not score a lot, but I bet you he gets the boys fired up.
Yeah, no, good for him to go home with the boy and his wife and win it there. Gave
bring
that
the cup
steak
back to St. Louis.
Yeah, and I heard, that state even, it's national July 5th or June 15th will be national St. Louis Blues Day.
Changes an entire state down there.
Yeah, pretty cool. Man, cool. What did you think of? Did you see any of the parade yesterday or no?
I saw clips of it. I didn't watch it or nothing. I didn't have that ability.
See, what do you think of O'Reilly's attire there in the parade?
Oh, I think I don't think he's gonna get rid of that beard. I think he's gonna keep it all year, and I don't blame him. It looks good on him.
Suits him pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. What did you think of his top hat?
Oh, man, look like he's number one cast for Indiana Jones here in 2020.
Indiana Jones.
Or Zach Brown coming in hot here with a fiddle or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that one a little bit better. I like that. Perfect fit.
Yeah. I see Petrangelo shaved his beard a little bit, cleaned it up a bit.
Cleaned it up, yeah. Most of the boys cleaned up. I thought it was good.
Too much crusty gravy and shit for the last three nights of fucking eating bar food.
Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me one bit. Party hard.
Yeah, buddy, yeah. Bennington just took a tuba from one of the band players there and was just blowing on that thing.
Oh,
crushing beers, blowing the tuba. Barbashev there, getting the crowd all fired up.
I watched
quite a bit of that parade there. It was pretty good.
Sure.
Dean, I don't know if it's all cab wash because Marchand looked quite fine there with goggles on, crushing beers in the bar after losing.
I saw that.
They all... The big three, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, said they're all injured, but they don't need surgery. So is it all injury or is it just an excuse? I don't know.
I don't know. I know
But I know who wasn't injured is Chara. That guy's a fucking beast, man. Animal.
No kidding. He's a beast for sure. Like, who could play with that, with, like, you know, getting your mouth sewn shut, like, the day after? You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then you gotta play with the fucking bubble.
Yeah, that's a
task. You gotta play with the bubble. He doesn't play with a visor to start with, and now he's gonna play with a bubble. No wonder first game back, he was just chucking sauces at guys' hips and shit.
Do you think he was a little timid his first game back? I think he was.
Well, maybe timid. I don't know if timid's the right word, because these guys 7 foot giant. I don't know if he can be timid, but he's probably a little bit, I don't know, maybe hesitant or something. Yeah. Get hit in the face. He just has a broken jaw. Yeah,
that's probably the better word.
And he's wired shut. He can't even call for a pass. He's just like, holy fuck. But the interviewers, he had to write everything down.
Yeah, that's what
he couldn't answer no questions.
Yeah, that they gave him. I did read that article saying that he had pen and paper and stuff like that for questions.
And what do you think of that trade there in the NHL on the fantasy thing with Gudas for Niskanen?
Well, I think it was a good hockey trade. Nothing wrong with it, I don't think. I think Washington gets about just over $2.5 million cap relief, and they get a massive guy back there who loves to play the body. So that fits Washington's heavy MO they had last year too.
No, for sure. Yep, he's a big boy.
Yeah, and I think Philly gets a little more, bit more mobile with Niskanen back there, and maybe a lot of penalty minutes.
I agree, Gudas. If you want pims and hits in fantasy, that's a guy to pick up if he's got 4 games in a week.
Oh, especially if he's got 4 games in a week, he doesn't even need 4, and he'll load you on pims.
Might affect the plus minus a tad, but.
Well, yeah, if he's playing in Washington now, that might also change. So,
true, very true.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? I guess that's about it for fantasy. I don't have nothing else on that, but you can kind of switch up to the Eberle contract there.
Yeah, that took a bit of a pay cut to sign back in Long Island, but. He obviously must like the fit.
Well, I think that. I think he knew he had to take a pay cut because he just didn't. He had his best performance in the playoffs was his past postseason here with the Isle. And before that, he kind of, I don't know, a little softer, but that's good for him. 5 times 5 for 5 years. That's good. I think it's a good contract.
Yeah, I think it's a good contract too.
I don't think he's quite reached his potential either, to be honest. I think he's still got more to give.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely got some growth. Even since he's left Edmonton, he's become more consistent in his game. So,
I agree.
That was a big thing when he was in Edmonton. He didn't have as much consistency, so that's why he was on his own.
I seen some other things or something Holland said there, Oilers manager, that they're looking for a backup. But what drives me crazy that is they already had the backup in Mr. LB there, just shipped him across a couple provinces there, and look what he did backing up Hellebuck this year. So frustrating, but now they need a backup again.
Yeah, it seems that nowadays you need two good backup goalies, you know, at least.
Well, it goes to prove. Yeah, it goes to show, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Even the two that were in the finals up to the playoffs, it was a 1A 1B with St. Louis and Boston with Tuukka and Halak and Binnington and. And Allen's a pretty capable goaltender, so I wouldn't count him as a backup.
Yeah, and Binnington kind of ran with it there at the end. I think he played like majority at the end there, the final 30 or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. There is some free agents out there too for tenders. I don't know what they're going to take. Like, Talbot's free agent again, too, but they don't got the cap room for him. Both tenders from Carolina are free agents, Mazurek and McElhinney.
Yeah.
Varlamov, Leonard, Smith. Like, there's lots of free agent goalies. Miller.
There's so many goalies.
Yeah, but Oilers don't have the cap room, really, unless Holland can, I don't know, make something happen or get one for cheap somehow.
Yeah, the Oilers only have a million less cap space than the Leafs do.
Yeah.
You guys...
Before Shirelli got... Go ahead.
Well, what were you going to say about Shirelli?
Before Shirelli got the axe, he's the guy who signed Koskinen to that great deal that... Now they're kind of stuck, but I think he's capable of being a starter too. I don't know. We'll see this year, though.
I think he is. I wouldn't count him out. That's for sure. Fix that.
Yeah, I agree.
Fix that glove hand. You might have something to work with.
Fix that glove hand and put a smile on sometimes.
Yeah, you know that'll come with winning, though. That'll fix itself.
Very true. Very, very true. Yeah. So,
do you think?
I don't know. And Tippett being.
Do you think they'll be starting Chase on?
Well, I would suggest so, unless he wants some stupid-ass money for his season last year. But
he may.
Really, he played up in the lineup all year last year in the top two lines, and really he's a bottom six forward. So is he going to produce like that on a winning hockey team? Probably not. So he needs to realize, too, he needs to take under $2 million or like $1.5 million or $1 million contract, but maybe if you can get him for 2 or 3 years at less than like $1.5 million, I think that's all right. But if it's any more than $2 million, I can't afford him.
Yeah. What?
Not unless he can move the Lucic contract or some Sakura or Russell. Got to shed some money somewhere somehow.
What about the rest of their RFAs with? Jesse Puljujärvi being at the top of that list, Ty Ratty, Jujar Kara. Well, he's big man. He's a big boy.
Yeah, I try to get JJ re-signed. Ratty, I don't know. I think he lacks the foot speed, but he's proven he can score goals playing at the right players. So if you can get him for under $1 million, maybe a 1 or a 2 year, he might fill something. I just haven't seen him be able to play as a bottom six forward. He's not effective, but he does have spurts where he can play with some like McDavid and those guys where he can produce. But he just – I don't think he has the foot speed in today's NHL, or he hasn't shown it this far. JJ, you got to sign him because he's a beast. And I think he's got more to give too offensively. And JP, well, I don't know on JP –
do you think
maybe stop licking them boogers might help for starters? I'm just kidding, JP. But
do you think Holland in there, maybe a different approach as the GM would give him some better leeway in the minors and getting a chance to, you know, maybe play some top 6 minutes out there?
I think it's a fresh start for one, and he just had surgery there. So new coach, new GM, fresh start. I think it'll be a good thing for lots of Oilers. Lucic, Puljujärvi, maybe Reeder, Tobias Reeder. He played for Tippett there in Arizona. And Reeder had like 20-plus glorious scoring chances yesterday and put the fucking biscuit right in the goalie's stomach. So any puck luck, we would have had 5 to 10 goals last year. So I think there's a number of players that could really go in the right direction here with Tippett. But we'll see.
I agree with the new head coach in there. You're definitely going to have some fresh starts for a few of these players, which is good. You got to get them all signed first, but – you know, they're not the only team that has that problem, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, like JJ, you can sign him cheap. He hasn't proven much. Besides, he can drop the mitts and be a physical. But he can sign for cheap. Ratty, if he wants to stay, can sign for cheap. And JP, well, His agent, who knows what's going to go on there. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's good because he was unbelievable at the World Juniors. So he's proven he can score. He's a big body. Like at the beginning of last year, he showed signs he could just fly down the wing. And then season started and he just brutal. Like last year in the preseason, Ratty, Puljujärvi, and Yamamoto, I think they had combined, like, I forget how many goals, but they had a lot of goals. And it was more than their total the whole rest of the next 82 games.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it is crazy. Yamamoto got hurt. I don't know if he had surgery. I think he did, but I don't know. It'll be interesting with the Oilers with these Europeans coming over, Pearson and Nygaard. I think they'll slide in the lineup this year, and I don't know. We'll see. Nygaard's got some speed. He can maybe play with McDavid and Pearson, good puck-moving defenseman.
Relatively good deals on those guys, too.
I think
a mil each.
Yeah, yeah. And Nygaard chose to come here, so
there you go.
He's got some kind of, yeah. So
these waivers,
yeah, I don't know.
Too.
Yeah,
that's good.
Any news on the Leafs front there? Coming from the Leafs fan himself, PJ.
Well, I don't know. I try and stay on top of it, especially now in between the draft. I'm sure there'll be lots of rumors flying around. Nothing solid yet, but obviously there's going to be some people on the move, and I don't know. We got just as many contracts to get under done as the Oilers do. So
yeah, but Zaitsev, I think they want to try to get rid of Zaitsev. I know. I think they want to sign Gardner, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's tough. I can see Zaitsev getting moved before the draft, but the Marlowe contract.
I don't know what Zaitsev.
What's that?
I don't know what Zaitsev brings. Like the Craig Button mentioned him coming to the Oilers. Like what is Zaitsev? He's supposed to be offensive defenseman. Well, how many goals did he have last year? Didn't he have like 9 points or something?
Yeah, last year he didn't have many points.
Just not effective. But is he a defensive defenseman? Well, I don't really see that in him. So like what is he?
He's
not a shutdown guy.
Well, he can be a shutdown guy. I would say because he is a defensive defenseman as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't have the real ability to break the puck out of his own end, which is kind of a huge drawback. He only had 14 points last year.
Or 14, right.
Yeah, 3 goals. So, like, not a lot of output for 81 games played. But he hits the net. I'll give him that. You know, most of the points that he had, the assists were probably point shots that got tipped or something like that. He's a good defensive defenseman to have, you know, pair him with someone who's got good offense, good upside, and who can break that puck out. His contract isn't completely unmovable. It's only 4.5 mil. It's just a term because he's still got 5 years left.
Yeah. But if he could show any signs of being something, that could look like a great contract too.
He's only 20.
Like if he could turn into almost like, yeah, if he could turn into like a Klefbom or something like that, because Klefbom's contract's very similar.
And he's a right D as well, so he's not an undesirable, really. Those things are fucking hard to come by.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not small. He's a big boy. He's been playing in 3 years now. Played 3 years, 2 years in the NHL after coming over
from Russia.
So he's not completely new to everything.
Yeah. Heard maybe Sparks too is on the chopping block or something.
Yeah, he's got a pretty movable contract at 750K, and I did hear pretty actively they were trying to shop him. They got some good goaltenders in the minors, so I'm sure they're gonna want to be able to take a look at them and not put themselves in the same situation they did at the beginning of last year with Calvin Pickard and McElhinney getting picked up by two different teams.
Yeah, well, that's the Oilers, too. We got a couple, looks like some decent kids in the minors there that they could turn out to be something. Like look at Binnington. Just shows you got to be patient with your goaltenders and your team.
Yeah.
25 years old and just won a cup.
Well, I
So I just got beat.
think it was last year the St. Louis Blues actually loaned Binnington to Boston's farm team because they didn't have any space
Yeah.
on their roster for him, and they were going to send him to the ECHL. Like, he's like, "Well, I want
Exactly.
to go." They're like, "Okay, we'll send you to Boston," because they were short on goalies. Once he got the job
Yeah.
there, he took it and ran with it all season. He didn't give it up there either. So, no different than in the NHL this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. Nothing else besides Zaitsev and Sparks that I've heard there. Who knows what's going to go on with Kadri? Oh, Marlowe too. Yeah, that's right.
I think Marlowe might be on the move as well. Kadri, I heard rumors that he was going to be gone, but
Yeah.
that still leaves the whole Johnsson, Kapanen, Marner. Ennis needs to get signed. I think Hainsey will be back, but at the same time, I don't trust Babcock to not play him over 20 minutes a game,
Yeah.
which is just crazy because he's 38 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't pair him with Morgan Rielly for 82 games because come playoffs, he's going to be beaten to a bag of sand.
Yeah, exactly.
Gardner probably won't.
Yeah, no, for sure. What else you got? Want to go into the You got anything else?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything else really. I mean, as we get closer to the draft here, less than 2 weeks away, I'm sure there'll be lots to.
Well, Friday starts Friday. Draft the 21st.
Yeah, well, less than a week then,
Yeah, just less than a week. Yeah, I think Hughes is going first, followed by Capo there. But the next 10, who knows? Like, the Oilers are sitting at eighth. Where's Leafs' first round pick? Where are they sitting?
They don't have a first round pick. They don't pick until,
Oh, they don't have one.
no, they don't pick till the second round, around the 50 mark, I think, 50 or 60
Yeah,
mark.
the Oilers got eighth and then 38th. So they got two picks in the top 40 this year. So I don't know who's going to be there at eight, if Caulfield's going to be there, or Broberg, or Kirby Dach, or Peyton Krebs. I don't know. The top five, I think, will be Hughes, Capo, Turcotte, Cousins, and that Bowen Byram. The next five is a wild card.
What happens if New Jersey throws a wrench in everything and takes fucking Capo?
First,
Yeah.
well then, who has second pick? Rangers.
Yeah.
They'll just take Hughes.
And then
Hughes is the best player by far.
you think?
I think so.
Oh man. I think that Capo is going to be a stud. He's bigger, he's stronger. He proved in
Don't know.
that World Cup he's definitely ready.
Yeah, I watched Kirby Dach there in the playoffs. I liked him too. If he's there at eight, I'd like to him see the Oilers take Kirby Dach or Peyton Krebs there. I heard Bob Stauffer wanted or thinks the Oilers will take Broberg, but he's a defenseman, and I just if he's the best player, they think there at eight, we'll take him. But if Krebs or Dach is there or Caulfield, you got to take one of them three over Broberg. Or if Zegras is there, but I don't think Zegras will be there. He'll probably go right after Bowen Byram.
It'd be nice for them to pick up a winger. Seemed like they got enough centers. Be good to pick up a good right winger.
Yeah, but you can do that in the later rounds. You got to pick the best player that's there at number eight, no matter what position he is, in my opinion. You got to take the best player because you don't know how good they're actually going to be, as it's proven. Look at some of these later round picks, Pasternak, and just some guys that are just like hidden gems.
That's true.
But yeah, man.
I
So you
don't
got
have.
anything else on the draft? Who's your top five? Like I got Hughes, Capo, Turcotte, Cousins, and Bowen Byram, but I think Bowen Byram could go before Cousins or Turcotte. So I think that's a top five. The next top five will be Zegras, Caulfield, Broberg, Dach, and Krebs. in what order, I don't know.
I don't know. I have Vasily, Podkolzin and going top five over Bo and Byram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That Bo and Byram, if he's there for the Oilers, that'll be unbelievable. They say there's been no better defenseman from the Dub since Niedermeyer.
Holy cow.
That's 20 years ago. So this kid's specially up. Bo and Byram. But I don't know. No, it'll be interesting here Friday to see what the Oilers get here. And then they got 38th pick. So they got some. They can take another really good player in the top 40 here that could step into Bakersfield next year and maybe to the NHL the year after. Who knows?
What do you think?
Maybe you can snag a guy like DeBrincat there. Like, kid's unreal, man. 40 goals this year, and he's just a wee lad.
Yeah, he was a late second rounder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one had opened him because he was 5'6".
Yeah, the league's getting faster, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Just goes to show small guys can play in the big leagues now.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need to be that 6'4" big defenseman.
Yeah, that's right. Showing defensemen that can move the puck. Look at what's his name there for Boston that got hurt there, had the concussion and came back for game 7, but he was unreal. And he's just a small
Matt Grizzlick.
Grizzlick.
I guess
he's going to be a chiseled vet in the league if he doesn't get hurt.
I guess there was a report saying that Boston got in some big trouble for all their hurt players that were playing with concussions over the playoffs.
Because Grizzlick,
no kidding, eh?
Grizzlick had the concussion. Apparently he was cleared, but he was still playing with the symptoms, which is not allowed. And I guess DeBrusque was doing the same thing since the first round against Toronto. Had concussion-like symptoms and just played through it.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? It's up to the player, but if the player can pass all the protocol that they're put through, well, kind of got to let them, right? Unless they can get some better diagnosis or better ways to determine a concussion, but such in the early stages of head injuries, it's tough. But if that's the case, well, I don't know. I still believe, though, if Kadri doesn't get hurt, Boston's out first round. if Kadri doesn't fucking be a bonehead,
you try Boston's to get on my good first side, round, I guess, eh?
Well, I got to sweeten you up somehow. Oh, fuck.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. He was a catalyst in those first two games, and he really really screwed the rest of the team over by being a selfish bonehead.
Yeah, exactly.
Heard them all, he was playing with such good intensity, and then, you know, what could have been a 3-game suspension turned into 5 because they went to 7 games, so.
Yeah.
Gonna have to learn from that if they don't trade him. You know, he's still a top center in the league as far as he's a third line center on the Leafs and he'd be a second line center on any other team. No doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut down.
Exactly.
Shut down Crosby. You can shut down McDavid, Taves. You can shut them all down. It don't matter, right? But he's behind that line and walk it fine because from now on out, he's going to have a target on his back as far as being an example made out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, it'll be interesting this summer, too, with some of these review plays and some of the calls with the refs. And come next fall, I think we'll see some changes. But I think it'll be for the good.
Oh, definitely. They're so stringent on not making any changes at all. So if it's a big enough deal that they do need to make changes, they're not going to stray too far from the grade, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Bettman, though. Bettman's, as much as people hate him and love to boo him, you know, he's done a great job for the league and marketing it, and getting it to where it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. The guy just, every time he grabs that microphone, it doesn't matter where he's at, the boos just flood in, man. Like, holy man.
I actually, just,
for once.
Oh, what's that?
I said, like, for once, maybe applause the guy. He's actually not done that bad of a job.
I read his book, and he's learned to embrace it. He kind of, that's kind of his, like, calling card. You know, Batman's got his light in the sky, his bat signal, and Gary Batman's got his.
Yes. Might as well get into the awards here.
Get into the awards. Yeah, may as well do that. You want to do the Selkie first? The NHL awards? Yeah, we'll do the Selkie.
We'll start off with the Selkie first. It's between Bergeron, O'Reilly, and Stone. I'll let you go first on this one. I'll go first on the next one. Who are you going with? We'll write them down. We'll see who's right.
Yeah, all right. That sounds fair. Well,
sounds good.
Yeah, usually this has been one for Bergeron. This has been his category for a while, but I think I'm going to go with O'Reilly on the show.
The old Zach Brown band there. Zach Brown band from the parade, the man himself, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, I like him. I like the pick.
Oh, it's crazy because he stole the words out of my mouth. I'm going with him too. He was fourth in the show with 94 takeaways this year. Behind Stone and takeaways, but I just, like you say, it's usually Bergeron's to win, but I think O'Reilly's got him beat this year.
I think so, eh? Well, as crazy as that sounds, I don't think it's too far fetched. I think he's gonna walk away with this one. What one do you want to do next?
I can touch on O'Reilly here for a sec, because he led the NHL in faceoff wins here as well this year.
Oh, wow. Another Statman over here.
Statman, over 1,000 faceoffs he won here. Looking right at it, 1,086 faceoffs. Guy's just a fucking animal in the circle there.
Wowzers.
But in the final round, him and Bergeron did pick him apart lots of them games. But Selkie talk, going to Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly. I think that's a good solid pick.
Yeah, the old toothless man himself.
There you go.
Next, I guess we might as well go with Lady Bing.
Yeah, sure.
The old vagina award.
The old. That's the case. I know who should get it. No, I'm just kidding. It's a good trophy that they give out every year.
So I'm first up to bat here for the Lady Bing. Well, I'm kind of stumbling over my toes here, but I don't know. It's Barkov, Monahan, or O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna go with Barkov. There, the old Sunshine. Open up the sun there in Florida.
Oh, Sunshine. Nothing wrong with that. I am going to actually stick with O'Reilly. I'm going on the O'Reilly train.
O'Reilly train. Toot, toot.
Yeah. Taking home hardware tonight.
What are the bandwagon jumpers that they win the cup? He's all in, though.
All in, buddy. All in.
I don't know. Barkov had a big year this year. Set the Panthers record with 96 points. Passing Pavel Bure in his 1999-2000 season with 94. Barkov, probably one of the most underrated guys in the show.
He's been so underrated for so long, I almost feel like everybody knows who he is now. He's got that big bad C on his jersey for a reason. He's a presence out there on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll go with Barkov. You're going with O'Reilly. Double dose of O'Reilly.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, go with the Masterton Trophy. The old Masterton Trophy. This one should be called the old Kane Award, too, I guess. Because every guy who wins is usually great.
That's not true. I mean,
true.
Rob Letterman threw some serious stuff. So, like, I don't know, he's a pretty legit candidate.
It's a great story on Leonard, yeah. Who are you going with on the Masterton?
I'm gonna go with Nick Foligno. I think Foligno. Yeah, he had some hardships this year with his little daughter having some issues with her health. So that took a real toll on him, but he was still able to be a presence all year in the locker room. And there's no way you're telling me he wasn't there on game day when they were playing Tampa Bay and Boston into the second round. You know, he was a presence for sure. That's who I'm going with.
No, it's a good choice, buddy. Good choice. I'm going to go with the brick wall himself there, old Robin Leonard. Good story, too, for him this year with his disorder there he had and battled through it and took the island. Well, took him through the first round there and swept the Penguins, or didn't sweep the Penguins, beat him in five there, I think is what it was. So I'm gonna go with Robin Leonard. Proved he's an NHL goalie after kind of a few not so good seasons that he was battling with. But then the other candidate in that award is Joe Thornton or Big Jumbo Joe. But I don't know, I'm with Robin Leonard here.
Going with Robert Leonard.
Going with Leonard, you're going with Foglino.
Yeah, I'm going with Foligno. That's who I think so at least. And just to correct you there, the Islanders swept the Penguins this year.
They did sweep them. That's right. I couldn't remember that. I didn't know if it was a sweep or it was four. It was in five games. What series went in five games in the first round?
The Avs and Flames. Calgary won the first game and then. Yeah, Colorado won four straight. Yeah.
Well, let's continue on here at the awards. The Vezina,
goalie of the year.
I'm on deck. You're in the box here. You're getting the pitches coming in hot.
Okay. They're three big goalies. Two of them used to play for Tampa Bay and played for Tampa Bay. So they got that little connection. One was a predecessor, and the one was the protege. But I'm going to go with the protege on this one, and I'm going with Bishop for the Vezina.
Going with the old Bishop.
Yeah, Ben Bishop. I watched a lot of his games this year. He's been a pretty big dark horse as far as winning this one. His record, nothing to shake a stick at. 27 wins in 46 games. You know, nothing there, and he led. Led all the goalies in save percentage at even strength at 938. So, like, that's a pretty crazy stat for just playing more than 15 games. You could be anybody and have a higher save percentage than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good pick.
What do you think? Who's your pick there?
I'm going to go with the old Lightning tender there with the record they brought up in the season. It's hard to compete with that after he battled through an injury there in December and put up 39 wins this year. Unbelievable there. He led the league in wins, tied for fourth in shutouts, and had a 925 save percentage in 53 games. You can have 925 the whole way. Well, you think you can take it all the way, but that sure didn't work out in the playoffs. But the season, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing you're not counting the playoffs in most of these awards. It's a good thing for some of these people.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Go with the top defenseman, the old Norris Trophy.
The Norris Trophy. I'm going to have to go with – do you mind if I go first?
Yeah,
you want to go? You go ahead. You go ahead first.
Give her.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the defending champ, Brett Burns.
I'm going with Bernie.
Yeah.
All right. I can't. I'm going with Burns. I'm going to go with the dark horse, the old vet himself, Gio. He had a big Gio year. Canada. Big year there. 35 years old there.
Hey, old boy.
Oh boy, but he put up a huge year with Calgary. Pretty much took them, well, helped get them to the playoffs and win their.
Yeah, it was a big season for Calgary this year, no doubt about that.
Yeah. And then the other candidate, Hedman, he's right in there too, so. But.
Three good candidates.
Going with Burns.
Going with Burns, yeah. You're going with Gio.
The King Clancy.
The King Clancy.
Leadership qualities and the
humanitarian contributions. I guess, I don't know, pretty tough for us to pick this one, but we can take our guess. Not around the game, but you can take a wild guess. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Zucker.
Hendrik Lundqvist, is that what you said there?
Yeah, Ekman-Larsson, yeah. Lundqvist, and Zucker.
Gotcha. I don't know. All of them are good candidates. They're all doing great things for the league, but I'll take Lundqvist.
Going with Lundqvist. Yeah, I know his family's donated a bunch to a foundation. I'm not sure the actual name of it, but they've donated a lot of money to a good cause. I'm probably going to have to follow you up with that, too. I'm going to have to bunt that one home and go with Lundqvist as well.
Going to go with Lundqvist. Not a bad decision.
Yeah. Guess if I, yeah. Not too bad. I don't know. I don't really have any other reason to pick Zucker or Oliver Ekman-Larsson, but we'll continue on. The old Mark Messier Award. The old Mark Messier Award. Running for trophy, honoring leadership qualities, role, and growth of game. Justin Williams, Wayne Simmonds, or Giordano?
Are you, you want to take this one first?
Sure, I'll take this one. I'm going to go with the old wily chiseled vet, Justin Williams, on this one. Got the stapled with the old C on his jersey, and look how far Carolina went there, taking out the defending champs. No playoffs don't mean much, but he's an old wily vet. I'm gonna go with him for the Mark Messier Award.
I thought it was crazy that Simmonds got nominated over Giroux. That was a little weird for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick Giordano.
Gio. Going with Gio.
He's doing a lot for the city of Calgary, so.
Yeah.
He's enjoying his time there, and he really, really shows in the work that he puts back into the community, so that's really good to see.
Yeah.
So
well, next one, we'll continue on here with Jack Adams. If this one was based on playoffs, we know we got a hands-down winner, but we're talking season. Well, what's the award is for? We'll make away with this one. I'm going to go with the old refrigerator himself. They're Barry Trotz.
Oh, calling Barry Trotz, eh?
With the old fridge, he took that team from the worst defensive team to the best defensive team, and he's the only reason why after they lost Tavares. No reason there's any reason for that besides coaching. So I'm going with Trotz. Next year will be exciting that they're keeping a few of these guys and they're getting them signed, like Ebbs and a few guys like that. They're going to be something to mess with.
Yeah, no kidding, especially with that Barzal kid, you know. Who's that?
Don't even get me started on Barzal. Where'd that draft pick get sent? Who's your choice there? I don't want to talk about that one.
I want to talk subject. Okay, we'll move on. I think it's
Green Bay or Trotz.
I think it's a no-brainer to go with Cooper on this one.
Yeah,
coaching the Lightning to 62 wins and, you know, 20 losses all year. It's not nothing to shake a stick at. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's who I'm going to go with.
Nice.
Coach that team like his business, and it's a shame they got eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, he looked a little nervous there on the bench in the playoffs like I've never seen before. So I don't know. It'll be interesting here to see what the old Coop does here, if they do with them. If you can get them going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, sir. Hopefully they have a better showing next year.
Sir, you've called me sir. I'm moving up in the world.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, sir. Well, let's continue with the Calder. The Calder here. All right. Rookie of the year. I'll let you step up and take this one. We've got Binnington, Dahlin, Pedersen. I think Pedersen because Pedersen sounds too normal, but I want him something different. He's Pedersen.
Why are you going to make me go first? This isn't even fair.
All right, I'll go first then. I'll go with the – as we know, if it was playoffs, it's Binnington, but you're going with season, I got to go with Pedersen. The kid is unbelievable and watched a lot of him playing against the Oilers this year. He's about as thin as a bean pole, but you can't take the puck away from him.
That's pretty accurate. Even though Bennington's it was a beast in the playoffs, doesn't really matter. So even though it doesn't really matter, I'm still going to pick him as my rookie of the year candidate.
Bennington. Yeah, I was going to Thompson. He was almost a point a game as a rookie, passing beat Pavel Bure's 50 points. To get 66, beat up by 6 to be the best rookie for the Canucks. So they got something special on the other province there. So good choice too.
Yeah. I don't think you can go wrong. I mean, the kid's a stud. I mean, so is Patterson. So is Dahlin.
All right, we're going with the old Hart Trophy here. I think this one's hands down, not even in question. I'll step up to the batter box with this one. We got Crosby, Kucherov, and Mr. McJesus himself. And we know he's the most valuable. I'm going with Mr. Connor McDavid.
Oh, man. How many years in a row does he want it? Two? Just one.
Three in a row if he's named this one this year.
I'm going to have to go against you here, but
going against me. Who are you going with?
I'm gonna go with my fantasy king, Mr. Nikita Kucherov. Oh, that's what I'm gonna have to go with.
Kuch money.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if McDavid was surrounded by Kucherov's wingers? Dude, Jesus. And the centerman and those guys to play with? Like, oh man.
That sounds like a Calgary nightmare.
Yeah, no kidding. And one final last award, the manager of the year. The Bruins, Hurricanes, and the Blues. So Armstrong, Don Sweeney, and Don Waddell. The manager of the year. I'll let you take this one away.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with Don Waddell from Carolina.
Going with the old Carolina.
Yeah, I think the moves that he made this year, who he signed, who he added,
yeah,
in trade or out of free agency and stuff, and trade, you know.
Yeah, he's got to get some goaltenders signed this summer. Both of them are UFAs, so we'll see what happens.
They are, yeah. Him and every other team in the league has got free agency problems. So
true. I'm gonna go with old Steady Dougie there. Didn't make a move. Team was dead last, beating each other up around Christmas time there, and ended up hoisting the Lord Stanley there, Armstrong. Never made a move, stuck to his guns. Big trade on Bozak from the old Leafs there, and that pretty much stole O'Reilly from Buffalo for a bag of pucks.
Pretty much.
So I think that's an unbelievable trade from Armstrong, and to stick with it after you're dead last, it was I'm going with a little Dougie.
Well, I don't think that's a bad pick either. Three good GMs there for sure.
Little Dougie. Yeah, it's all the trophy. Side note, too, you see that they bought out old Phaneuf?
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yeah, I saw that headline.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think of that. Hopefully he gets a contract somewhere else. I mean, at a lot less money, but regardless.
Well, I think he's worth something, but he's not worth. I think his contract was $7 million.
Yeah, it's tough to pay that guy time, money. Well,
at one time, I remember playing like the old NHL games there back in the day when we were young there. He was the guy, man. Like, he was a beast when he was in Calgary. He was pretty much a beast in Toronto, and then he kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah, when we traded for him to come to Toronto the first time, it was like, I don't know. He's almost at the peak of his career. And it sounds terrible to say that because he's still in prime years, but he didn't play like the man we signed, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Just turned into a fridge you couldn't turn around without moving his entire body.
Yeah. All right. Well, we might as well go into the we'll wrap it up here with some the draft. We'll go with who we think's going in the top 10.
Who we think's going in the top 10.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic idea.
Oilers got 8th pick, and we'll see who's going top 10. We'll see who's right on the awards. I'll probably go 0 for 11.
0 for 11? That's all right. Sorry.
And we'll see if anyone's close on the draft here.
Well, hopefully one of us comes close. I mean, there's only 10 picks, so hopefully you get 7 out of 10. Like, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, I'm going to go with Hughes first.
You're going to go with Hughes, all right.
The American playing in the under-18s. Yeah, left-wing centerman. The kid's got some talent. Who are you going with?
First overall, I'm going to go with the underdog here. I'm going to go with Capo as my first overall.
Going with Capo Caco.
Yeah.
The old underdog.
Hell yeah. He's big. He's big. He's a big winger, and he's got some size, and I think after the World Cup, I think it proved that he was that he's ready to step into the big boy leagues.
Yeah, well, it's a good argument. Who knows who's going to be better? It'll be interesting in the next few years, but we've got 3rd pick now. I'll let you you go with 3rd pick. Who are you taking 3rd?
I am going to take Bowen Byram at number 3.
Bowen Byram at number 3. Going with the old wily defenseman from out of the Dub.
Yeah, I think he's a real stud. And he's also ready to make that jump.
Yeah, they say he's the best defenseman since Niedermeyer in the WHL there. So
I don't doubt it.
So 3rd, you're going with Byram. 3rd, I got to go with Turcotte. Got to go with Alex Turcotte going to Chicago. He's a centerman. I think he can pass up Turcotte. Kid's unreal.
Well, for number, I have Turcotte at 4 for myself.
You have Turcotte at 4.
Yeah. Going.
As crazy as it sounds, I got Byram at 4.
You got, well, there we go, covering everybody.
Byram at 4. The only reason I got Byram at 4, I got Colorado taking Byram. And then I just, for some reason, think they're going to move a defenseman there. Is that Byram? Maybe I'll just step right in. And they'll have some, and I think he's the best next player on the. He's going to be unbelievable. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. I have. Who do you have at 5 then?
I'll let you take this one.
Okay. I'm going with Dylan Cousins at 5.
Dylan Cousins at 5, eh?
Yeah.
I am going to go with Kirby Doc. Kirby Doc going 4. Or going 5, sorry.
5.
Yeah, after watching him in the playoffs, I think he slid up the rankings. He slid up there and go with Kirby Doc in 5. Who are you going with in 6?
That's who I have in my 6.
Oh, you have Kirby Doc in 6?
I do.
Kirby Doc at 6.
Going Kirby Doc at 6, yeah, going to Detroit.
Who do I got at six? I got Cousins going at six. We're just flip-flopped on a few. Who are you going with on seven?
I'm going to go with Vasily Podkolzin.
Oh, we're both sneaky. We're both taking the same guy at seven, buddy.
Yeah, he's a good Russian kid. He was pretty good in that World Junior tournament for them.
Yeah.
Who do you have going at eight?
To the Oilers?
Yeah, to the Oilers. Who do you got?
Well, they need scoring, and I don't know. The NHL is going smaller and quicker. I'm going with Cole Caulfield. Oilers snagging the little man, and they're going to flip Yamamoto and something to get some more depth scoring coming.
I like where your head's at there. I really do.
Yeah, Caulfield's small, but he's proven he can score. And I think he's jumped up big time in the rankings.
Yeah, I to be honest, I also have Caulfield going at eight.
We both got Caulfield going to the Oilers.
Yeah. Maybe it's a sign. Who knows?
Yeah. And then I got the Ducks at nine, taking Broberg.
Broberg. Okay. I have at nine. Oh. I have Zegras. Trevor Zegras.
Zegras at nine. Yeah, I got Zegras at 10. I think Zegras could go higher too, but I don't know. We'll see.
I have Zegras at 10. I have Peyton Krebs rounding out my 10.
Peyton Krebs. I don't have Krebs in my top 10. You don't got Broberg in your top 10. Nope. We'll see. There's a couple interesting other guys that I want to see Knight kid from the U.S. there. That kid's going to be unbelievable. They say there's not a better goalie since Quick from the U.S. there. So we'll see. Okay. Spencer Knight.
Good to know. I know John fell in the first round not too long ago either, so that's interesting. Well,
the Oilers got the 8th pick and the 38th pick, so Spencer Knight still could be there at 38. I don't know. We'll see. He'd probably go in the first round, but there's a lot of good players this year in the first.
Yeah, unfortunately, what's that?
Yeah, Matthew Boldy, he's right there too, and that Victor Soderstrom. There's a lot of good guys that could go in the top 10. It's whoever the scouts see and they want. So,
well, hopefully they draft the best possible guy at that spot. They're not, you know, picking someone just because they know they won't be around come their next pick, you know, and they are taking the best available guy.
Exactly.
Who knows that Spencer Knight, he could jump it right into the top 10 if, you know, Vancouver's sitting at 10. If they feel like they need a goalie, they might take them, you know?
Exactly. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, Philly, too. Philly's right there. They've had nothing but goaltender woes, so, like, it makes sense for them, too.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know who the Oilers are going to take at 38, though. I know Brett Leeson, he's in the draft this year. I think he's missed the last two drafts. He's that big centerman that played in the dub from Prince Albert. Brett Leeson, he'll go this year, I'm sure. He might be there for the Oilers at that 38 too. Great big centerman that could kind of play the third line role.
Yeah.
Eventually, we'll see here though. I know he's a big body. I think he's a little bit older too, Brett Leeson. Yeah, he's 20 years old now instead of 18, so he's missed two drafts.
Holy shit, crazy. So, he played on Team Canada the last 2 years, didn't he?
And he put up 89 points this year in the dub in 55 games. So, but just no offense in the Memorial Cup.
You don't think he'd go in the first round?
I don't see him going in the first round, Brett Leeson, no. But he could now. He very well could now, yeah. he's a big body and he could step in at any time, so it'll be interesting.
Crazy. Well, really hopefully he does. He's got the hard work in.
Yeah, I don't really have any other guys that I'm kind of watching. I know Adam Foote's son is in the draft this year. He's a great big defenseman. Nolan Foote,
nice.
Played in WHL, yeah. And he put up the points, too. He had 63 points in 66 games, so a little more offensive than his father.
A little bit, yeah.
So, buddy, that sounds good. Well, we'll see how the draft works out, and we'll come back Sunday and touch up on how we did on the awards, how we did on the draft, and maybe we can step into some Oilers and Leafs talk based on the draft and see what kind of movement we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Leafs don't pick till 53rd, so God knows what's going to even be left at that point. So I'm not even going to bother trying speculating who they're going to pick up.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see what they can snag something late, because there's been a lot of good late rounders, and if they notice that they don't have anything in the first round, you think their scouts would be somewhere else for this past year, and some of these smaller rinks watching some of these later round picks. So they might steal a guy this year because they don't have to put scouts in these watching these top 20 guys. So
yeah, very true. Very true.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll definitely see. Hopefully it pans out well for both of our squads.
Yeah, I agree. The Oilers need to take a step to the wall. They got to do it right this time. If they don't do it right this time, Connor's gonzo in a few years. Why wouldn't he be? But so far, I think Holland has made the right move with Tippett. He hasn't jumped the gun and started trading guys yet. He's being patient, waiting for the draft to play out, see who they get, and they're going to go from there. So I think in the next 2-3 weeks, we're going to see a lot of movement throughout the NHL, a lot of shit to talk about.
A lot of shit to talk about, and that makes me happy.
A lot of shit to talk about there, buddy. You bet.
Awesome. Well, I know the Raptor Parade is tomorrow, so I'm eager for that to happen. Hopefully see some drunken outbursts. That's what I'm really hoping for.
Well, I think there'll be a little more. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Probably be a little bit hurting.
Speaking of hurting, I don't think Brad Marchand was doing much hurting in the bars there.
Yeah, didn't look like it, but we'll did you see that? Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, but that sounds good, buddy. Well, let's wrap it up here, and we'll kick her off Sunday again.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you later then.
Take it out of your bum.